Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church right here, coming to you in your own home every week.
We love being here. Mm-hmm. Susie, I got to thinking, you know, every week we try to come up with something new and something fresh and
Sure. Something
that's inspirational or, you know, sensitive to your heart, help you grow. I was thinking about formulas. You ever think about how many formulas that, like, preachers use?
Oh, you mean like 3 points, a joke,
and
then the invitation?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a formula. Yeah.
Well, and one of my favorite formulas is in Timothy, where it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain."
Yep.
You know, so That's my prosperity message.
Sure.
And I just thinking about all the formulas we go through, and some of them are really necessary. But then I get to thinking about, it's not so much about the formulas you use, it's about the process that you go through. The formulas will give you a little structure, but it's really the process that counts. And what I want for you, I want for you to commit your life to Christ and begin to grow and begin to mature. And our challenge is to give you something to feed on that will help you with our maturing process.
Mm-hmm.
It really, Susie, most of the time, I'm the one that gets the most out of these messages, because when I'm doing this, I got all the three fingers pointing back at me. And it's some of the stuff we're dealing with, but it's about our process. What I want is, you say it so well, it's time to sit back and...
sit back, relax, and let's go to Cowboy Church.
To start her life and chase her dreams. Her mama started to cry as she drove away. Daddy took her hand, said she'll be okay. She was raised on faith, saved by grace. Her mind is set and her heart's in place. She knows just who she is. When things set her back, slow her.
Sing this song around graduation time, because the young girls and young men are leaving to go away on college.
Strength is found. Nothing in this world's gonna get me.
This is a song that I love so much. I'd like for us just to be in an attitude of prayer and worship of the Lord, because it tells of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. Holy Heart.
The Holy Heart was broken, sent from the Father's side. The Son of God forsaken, the holy sacrifice. The Lamb of God was stricken, abandoned and alone. He bore the world's affliction, he bore it as his own. For me he was forsaken, that I might be his own. And when my heart is broken, torn by my sin and pride, the Son of God now risen will draw me to his side. For me he was forsaken, for me he died alone, my sin forever taken, that I might be his own. For me he was forsaken, for me he died alone, my sin forever taken, that I might be his own. That I might be his own.
There will be three sets of judgments that happen. See, the world will be, or the church will be raptured, taken up. Rapture means to be caught up. You'll never, won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it means to be caught up. And the three judgments will come on the earth during the last 7 years. The first judgment is the seal judgments, which there are seven seals in the book of, in Revelation chapter 6. It talks about the seals. And after the sixth seal comes the seventh seal, and in the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. This is not the second coming. This is the rapture of the church. The second coming comes at the end of the tribulation, when God comes down to earth, when Jesus comes down to earth and fights in the battle of Armageddon, and thus defeats the enemy, and that's the second coming of Jesus. The first coming was Jesus would come down when he was born of a virgin. That was the first coming. The second coming is when, because it during the rapture of the church, we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Jesus isn't coming back down to the earth. We will be caught up, but in the second coming, he will touch down and fight in the battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 3:10, it says, because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. This is a great scripture that reinforces what we call pre-tribulation doctrine, where we believe that Jesus will take the church up before the tribulation starts. There's some people, they believe in mid-tribulation because at the end of the 3.5 years of the tribulation, the judgment will be much, much more harsh. And then some believe in post-tribulation. We believe that God will take the church, and the scriptures support this, take the church away from the earth before the tribulation starts. It says, because you've obeyed the command and to persevere, I will protect you from this great time of testing that will come upon the world. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, the ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of 7 years, but after half of this time, 3.5 years, he will put an end to the sacrifices and the offerings. As a climax to all these terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilege object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler is finally poured out on him. And what happened? What'll happen is that there will be the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And during this first 3.5 years, or maybe even just prior to the rapture of the church, and the problem is that there is a mosque on the, some of y'all have been to Israel, but there's a mosque that's sitting on the temple site, and there something has to happen there. And I mean, if anybody remembers when those Scud missiles were being shot into Israel, very well could have just hit hit the mosque on the where the temple site is, and you know what Scud stands for anyway. It surely could use directions. They don't really know where they're going to land anyway. The Antichrist will come to power. This will be a person who is a great leader. Lots of people will respect and admire him, who will bring temporary peace to the world. The world will look toward the Antichrist for peace, but it will be temporary. Oftentimes the Antichrist gets personified, like you remember Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden. The Antichrist will first be, listen to this, somebody like Gandhi or Mother Teresa or someone the world looks up to. They will look at this, the Antichrist, as a spiritual leader in the world. They'll be deceived thinking this is the spiritual leader for the world. And he will, after the temple is built, he will actually go into the temple during the tribulation. And then the last 3.5 years, he will desecrate the temple, which is the abomination that causes desolation. You've heard that term before, but the Antichrist will move into the temple. And at that point in time, he will begin to pour out all kinds of pain on all of the world. It'll do amazing things in the first 3.5 years. That person will go back on, then he will go back on everything he said, desecrate, vandalize the temple. And this is where the mark of the beast, you've all heard about the mark of the beast, the 666 on the forehead, where nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. This is where he will implement his controlling power over the world. And in order for the world at that point in time to buy or sell, or just to be able to live and survive, they will have to have the mark of the beast. And there will be those, the scripture teaches us, and we'll get into that, maybe not today, but the scripture teaches us that there will be those who go, who are able to endure through the tribulation, but the Bible says that they will be martyred for the cause of Christ, and they will be saved, but it'll be a terrible, terrible event for them to go through. I'm going to give you a little teaser about the seven seals this morning. I don't have time to go into it. I apologize. Seven seals, the first seven seals in Revelation chapter 6. The seven seals include the appearance of the Antichrist, great warfare, famine, plague, the martyrdom of believers in Christ, a devastating earthquake causing terrible devastation, an astronomical upheaval. Those who survive the six seals are right to cry out, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" I'm going to stop right there. One of the things that preaching about the book of Revelation kind of makes me nervous, because I want to get it right. And I just, there's no way that I can, as you can see right now, I'm probably a little frustrated that I didn't get further on in my message. But my point in all of this, honestly, is for you as an individual to study. Study yourself. To know, to be approved of God. Study the Word of God. Amen. His approval comes through you knowing what the Word of God says. Several years back, I was rodeoing professionally, and they had a rule within the PRCA, Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, that if there was a rodeo in your hometown, and you wanted to enter the rodeo, you could, what we call, hometown the rodeo. In other words, you could enter the rodeo in your own hometown, even if you weren't a professional. So I called my dad and I said, "Dad, do you want a rope?" He was a pastor in Montrose, Colorado. I said, "Do you want a rope at the rodeo?" "Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great." Well, came time for the books to close, and they have a time period where you can enter each rodeo, and they have a time period when the books are open, and then they have a time period when the books close. I missed the deadline of when the books close. And I called the PRCA office. I'm like, "Hey, could we just please make an exception here? I mean, this is my dad, and I mean, it's not going to hurt anything at all. I just want to rope with him. I know there's not a lot of days left for this. I just want to rope with him." And they said six words that continue to ring in my head. They said, "I'm sorry, the books are closed." And no matter what I said, that was their response. They said, "I'm sorry, the books are closed." But you don't, "I'm sorry, the books are closed." And it wasn't until, well, first I had to tell my dad. But then it wasn't until later on that I realized that Scripture says, "Not every man that says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God." You say, "Well, preacher, are you trying to scare me this morning?" You know what? I used to say no about that, but I'll get you any way I can. if you have a holy, reverent fear of God. Now, I loved my dad, but when he'd give me a whipping or something, I knew that he was, I really did, I knew that he was doing it because he loved me, because he was doing it not out of anger, but because he loved me. But I had a holy respect for him. And that's what I want to put in everybody here today. I want to put a holy respect of God in you. Because these things that we talk about today, and we're going to talk about in the future, are real. And they will happen. We're not theorists or we're not people who believe that all of the book of Revelations is symbolic and it's just not going to happen that way, but it's just a story. We believe that these things will actually take place. At this point in time, what's interesting about us and where we live today is that we live in a world where we can come to church without the threat of harm. We have the freedom to come to church, and that can cause the church to become lackadaisical, and it can cause us to become indifferent. It can cause us to be mediocre. It can cause us to coast. It can just cause us just to go along with the flow. Because we don't see these judgments. But we're blessed if we have this information and we respond in a way where we say, God, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, help me to take this word and this truth so that when you come to get your church, we won't be saying, but Lord, you know what? I did a lot of things for the church. I did a lot of things. I gave a lot of stuff, and I volunteered here and I volunteered that. God wants your heart before he wants your money. He wants your heart before he wants your volunteering. He wants your heart because he knows when he has your heart, everything else is going to fall into place. But not every man, this is interesting, says not every man that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. This morning, I just want to give you the opportunity, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, I want you to know that everybody in this room has sinned. That might help you a little bit. We've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. But again, he said, if we confess, he would be faithful to forgive us and to give us eternal life. So if you've never accepted him, or maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life.